Scouting out of the blue corner. He gives you your football meat and potatoes style and is the undisputed king of detailed player analysis. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Steve the Scout.
Hey guys, this is Steve the Scout. I am the voice of the Pro Football Scouting Podcast. It is Friday, September 21st. We got week three kicked off last night. Great game between the Cleveland Browns and the New York Jets. Excited to talk about that. Remember, you guys have questions. Every Wednesday on the show, I answer questions. If you have a question on a player, college prospect, an NFL team, something you saw on the field, you can send those questions directly to stevethescout81@gmail.com. Again, stevethescout81@gmail.com. Each week, I will pick a few questions to answer. And remember, follow me on Twitter at stevethescout81. Also on Twitter later today, I'm going to be putting out a fan poll. I want to have you guys vote on the kind of content that you want to see on the show going forward. One thing I always talked about is, you know, I'm a big believer in fan engagement. I definitely want you guys to engage with me. I'm going to be making a Twitter poll. Again, that Twitter name is SteveTheScout81, and the poll is going to be on what kind of content that you want to see on the show. So follow me on there, vote, and you can have a say in what goes into the Pro Football Scouting Podcast. Let's talk about last night's game before I dive into everything that's going to be happening in week three. What a game that was. The Jets defense dominated that first half. They did. But the Browns players on defense, they nailed their assignments as well. They did nail their assignments in the first half. Jets, I love the play calling they had on defense in the first half. Really, the play calling was good on both sides all over the field in that first half. I think both teams have a lot to be excited about considering their competitive history, especially over the last 25 years or so. And the Jets, they really ought to be excited because I know they lost last night. I get it. But they showed that they have an identity. The Jets are a defense that plays with a lot of aggression and a lot of intensity. And I know the Jets lost, and I know it probably hurts Jets fans to see Sam Darnold not play nearly as well as Baker Mayfield. But look, you know, fans are not scouts. People rush to judgment way too quickly. I feel like everyone is saying, oh, see, we shouldn't have drafted Sam Darnold. I mean, you know, yes, he didn't play his best last night, but look, he's still showing me enough that he should be the quarterback of this team, no question about it. One thing I'd be really excited about if you are a Jets fan is they have a great future ahead of them in terms of the running game. Their offensive line coach and running coordinator is a guy named Rick Dennison, who studied under Mike Shanahan and Alex Gibbs, two guys that really know the zone offense blocking scheme as well as anyone. Alex Gibbs, you know, if you look at his track record as an offensive line coach and run game coordinator, he's been really damn good. The zone blocking scheme that Dennison runs, it can be really drilled down into two plays: the inside zone and the outside zone. If you look at the wide zone, that is how Alex Gibbs, who mentored Rick Dennison, the Jets offensive line coach and running game coordinator, the wide zone is what Gibbs built the Broncos offense on. If you remember, he was with Shanahan. They had a guy named Terrell Davis. He ended up being pretty good. The very basic explanation of the wide zone is that rather than attacking downfield, offensive linemen, they're taught to step laterally at the snap of the football. They're occupying defenders, and they're not necessarily blowing them up. Also, in the zone blocking scheme, you're gonna see a lot more double teams. So it's not so much based on winning those one-on-one assignments. The concept really is for two linemen to come off in unison and attack a defensive line player. So, that's why scouting is so important when you look at scouting for scheme, because If you're gonna get offensive linemen and you're gonna get running backs for a zone blocking scheme, it's a different kind of player than you'd want for a pure downhill runner. Again, it's a lot more double teams, and if you go back and look at the Jets' attack on the offensive line, you're gonna probably see a lot more double teams than most teams. So if you look at what Alex Gibbs was able to do over the last 20 years. 25 years in terms of his success, I think about 17 out of the last 20 seasons that he coached, he was among the very top in the league in his rushing attack and rushing yards. When you want to look at his success, it's up there with Bill Belichick and Bill Parcells when you're evaluating him just as an offensive line coach and run game coordinator. I think it's the best run style to call in football. It works. It's proven to work. And I think Jets fans should be really excited about that. The Browns and Jets both have a lot of rising players on their defense. Denzel Ward is a complete corner. I love his tenacity and pure athleticism. Myles Garrett is insanely good, and plus Joe Sherbert played great last night. Outside of that, the Browns have Obinjobi, Agba, Jamie Collins, good players all over. And the Jets, they got Jamal Adams. He's a special player. He is the complete package at safety. Nathan Shepard, Darren Lee, Leonard Williams, Steve McClendon is a great space eater. Those guys are coming along well. So bright, bright future, I think, for both of these teams, actually. I told you last night, when you're looking at Baker Mayfield, I said this before the draft. I told you going into the draft that he was the safest and best QB in the draft. I heard Troy Aikman say last night that Sam Darnold was a safe pick and Baker was the risky pick. How is that? If you ask me, Baker's field vision and his awareness was a lot better than Darnold's in college. He was more accurate, and last night he had more zip on the ball, especially on those intermediate routes. That's where I noticed it last night. Look, I think Darnold is going to be a good QB in this league, but I said from the very beginning, I do not think he is as NFL-ready as Baker Mayfield. He's good enough to be a franchise quarterback, but when you look at Baker, he just picks apart the defenses from the pocket better. And when you want to look at how fast he gets the ball in there, there is a massive difference. The ball scorched out of his hands last night, as opposed to Tyrod Taylor, looked completely different. I knew from the very first pass that Baker Mayfield was going to take that job away from him. The second the ball came out of his hands, it was over. Baker throws over the linebacker and under the safety. Those are the throws that I care about most when I'm evaluating a quarterback on the college level. And then there's Colin Cowherd from ESPN, a guy who thinks he knows how to evaluate players, and he disrespected Baker Mayfield on his show and the Browns organization and said to Baker Mayfield, "You're not Russell Wilson." I gotta say, that pissed me off. Really? Because Baker's equally, if not more accurate than Russell Wilson. I said that from the beginning. You may have thought I'm crazy, but look at it last night. Can you really tell me that Russell Wilson is more accurate than Baker Mayfield? Baker's got just as good of an arm, and if you want to talk about escapability, Baker's that guy. I think this guy was not looked at as a safe pick because of his size, and this is something that's really good for the NFL. Another quarterback under 6'2", like Drew Brees, like Russell Wilson, that can absolutely tear it up. I predicted when I did my show predicting the 10 best quarterbacks of the next 10 years, Baker Mayfield was one of those guys. I know it's one game, but his tape was undeniable last night. And what a night for running back Carlos Hyde. He had a great game for the Browns, 23 carries, 98 yards, and his child was born. So great stuff last night. That breaks down Thursday Night Football. I'm going to get through the rest of these games as quickly as I can, but make sure I'm giving you some good information that on each of them that you're not going to hear anywhere else. So, looking at the Vikings versus the Bills. Look, in this game, the Vikings versus the Bills, Josh Allen, he's going to be thrown to the fire. Look, I thought Patrick Mahomes, who has similar arm strength to Josh Allen, would struggle more than he did. And if Josh Allen has a big game this week, he's going to temporarily shut some people up, including myself. But look, I think Minnesota's defense is too good. They're going to overpower him. Dalvin Cook is not going to play. So the Vikings are going to have a good game from Latavius Murray, a guy that I thought looked really good in preseason, good running back to have in his place. But look, Allen's getting thrown to the fire. I don't think he's going to be able to withstand this Vikings defense. And not only that, it's not their front seven, but it's also their secondary. They're loaded back there. So I just think it's going to be a long day for him. But look, Josh Allen, if he has a great game, he's going to shut some people up temporarily, again, including myself. All right, moving on to the Houston Texans versus the New York Giants. Clowney versus Eric Flowers. Look, that's the matchup. Flowers is healthy right now. He's the Giants' right tackle who struggled quite a bit. Clowney has got some back issues, but I still think Clowney is going to dominate him. That right side of that offensive line is played like a damn turnstile, and Houston has all-pro pass rushers. Not a good recipe for the Giants. I think that will probably be the difference. But if the Giants are going to win this game, they have to win this game by playing Bill Parcells football and controlling the game with Saquon Barkley. Because the Texans, as good of a pass rush as they have, they don't have that good of a run defense. If you look at the Giants have good coaches on the offensive side of the ball. You hope they can start protecting Eli Moore. The Texans don't have an elite run defense. The Giants, they're going to want to control the clock. They're going to get Saquon going, wear down the defense, and they're going to have to try to win in a close game that way. I think that is going to be their recipe for success. If they can come up with some good schemes and buy Eli Moore time, great. But I don't think they're winning this game without a big game from Saquon Barkley. He's going to need to get 100 yards rushing, I believe, for the Giants to win. Moving on to the Packers versus the Redskins. This is a good matchup. The Packers have a good pair of young cornerbacks who are rookies. Not only that, they got Ha-Ha Clinton Dix as their safety, but they got two good young cornerbacks as rookies, and they are going to be matched up with the Redskins wide receivers. Look, those young rookie cornerbacks are still learning, but on the other side of the ball, you have Alex Smith and his security blanket, Jordan Reed, and I think the Packers secondary, they're going to have to win that matchup, and Aaron Rodgers is going to have to be kept clean if the Packers are going to win. If the Packers do that, they should win the game. If not, then Washington could get the better of them. And they're going to have to keep him clean because Washington has a damn good defensive line. They got Daron Payne, Jonathan Allen. They got quality run support at the linebacker position. The Packers are going to need to keep number 12 healthy. And those cornerbacks are going to have a good game against those Redskins receivers. That's going to be the key to the game. It's a toss-up. It could go either way. If I had a guess, I'd probably go with Green Bay, but it really can go either way. Looking at the Chiefs and the 49ers, look, I know Patrick Mahomes is on a record pace through two games. I get it. But Jimmy Garoppolo is starting to settle in, and we will continue to see what I saw last year, and that is the evolution of a damn good quarterback. I think the 49ers are going to be looking at the film this week, and the first 2 weeks, teams were not bringing enough safety help to contend with the speed of these Chiefs receivers, as well as the ability for Patrick Mahomes to launch that ball downfield. I think the 49ers are going to look at the film. They're going to bring more safety help than other teams have done the first 2 weeks. And the 49ers have a good front seven that may give Patrick Mahomes more pressure than what he saw in those first two games. I think the weak point for Kansas City is their defense. I don't think their defense can stop Jimmy Garoppolo. And I think the 49ers, again, are going to drop their safeties. You got to remember, Richard Sherman can still cut off the right side of the field. He's got the same guy calling defensive plays as he had in Seattle. I like the 49ers this weekend in an upset. The Chiefs defense will be their downfall. All right, moving on to the Miami Dolphins versus the Oakland Raiders. The Dolphins defense has been very opportunistic over the first few weeks, and middle linebacker Kiko Alonso is playing great. Ryan Tannehill is showing that he is showing a lot of good stuff, and he's showing that he deserves to still be looked at as a franchise quarterback. I just think the Dolphins are playing better football right now. They are the hotter team, and I think it's going to stay that way this week. So I like the Dolphins in this one. Moving on to the Eagles versus the Colts. Look, this is Carson Wentz's first game back in 9 months. Andrew Luck is starting to settle in, and I believe these two quarterbacks, they are very equally matched in terms of talent. If you want to look at arm strength and ability, these two quarterbacks are on the same page. I think people may look at Wentz as being a better quarterback, but that's really just because Andrew Luck hasn't played the last 2 years mostly. But Andrew Luck, he's good enough to take over football games. He's starting to settle in, and the Colts head coach Frank Wright was Carson Wentz's offensive coordinator in Philly. I gotta believe he's dialing something up that is gonna help them at least try to slow down Carson Wentz. And you don't know how accurate Wentz is gonna be. This is his first game back in 9 months, but the game could go either way because if you look at Andrew Luck, he may have a long day ahead of him. This Eagles defensive line has a lot of good players. I think this game is going to be one in the trenches. The matchup is going to be Quentin Nelson going one on one against Fletcher Cox. Any of those one on one battles, I'm definitely going to look for a battle of two of the best in the game. Quentin Nelson's a sure thing. Fletcher Cox is one of the best in the league. That's a battle I'm going to want to see. Tough one here, but I'm going to have to go with the Colts. I just believe that. Andrew Luck starting to settle in, and I think that's going to be the difference, but, you know, we'll see what happens. That one could go either way. Looking at the Jaguars versus the Titans have no Marcus Mariota. Their offense is flat. And look, Blake Bortles is playing his best football of his career. Blake Bortles threw a number of highly impressive passes last week, a number of them. And for those who criticize Blake Bortles, you got to remember, you got to scout in context. This guy dealt with a wrist injury last year. Context, context, context. He was a quarterback is not the same with a wrist injury. The Jags defense is too good. Jacksonville will continue to remain hot on offense and on defense. They took it to the Pats last week, and I think they're going to have an easier time with the Tennessee Titans. I like Jacksonville in this one to go 3-0. Moving on to the Bengals versus the Panthers. This one's a cat fight in Carolina. The Panthers have C.J. Anderson and Christian McCaffrey. I believe if the Panthers are going to win the game, they got to get both of these running backs going between the tackles. That is what I want to see. I want to see an aggressive, dominant run game from the Panthers. That is the only way I see them winning this game. And that's how they can win the game. North Turner, the Panthers' offensive coordinator, he's consistently had good rushing attacks in his career as an offensive coordinator. The Bengals don't have Joe Mixon, but where the Bengals match up really well in this one is their wide receivers match up really well with Carolina's secondary, which is weak. The Panthers, again, they got to control the game between the tackles. They got to run the football. If they can't do that, I think the creative calling of Bengals offensive coordinator Bill Lazor is going to allow the Bengals to win this one. And those are going to be the keys to the game. I like Cincinnati in this one. Moving on to the Ravens versus the Broncos. The Broncos will win this game, I believe, and I'll tell you why. The Broncos rushing attack is solid. They got two rookies. They got Philip Lindsay is playing great at the running back position. He's actually wearing Terrell Davis's number 30, and he's looked solid so far. The first 2 weeks of production, this offense looks completely different. They have Royce Freeman, Philip Lindsay, Case Keenum is playing well. This Denver offense is the best that offense has played in years. The receivers are playing better. Everything is clicking for them. I think it's going to be hard for the Ravens to rush the passer and cover Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas. I think they're going to have a hard time getting after Case Keenum. And I believe that, you know, in terms of matchups, the Ravens secondary versus the Broncos receivers, the Broncos are going to win that one. You got to also remember that the Ravens are going to be hurt in the run game because C.J. Mosley, he's not 100%. He's dealing with a knee issue, and he's the key to stopping that run game. The Broncos offense looks like it's in sync. Their defense is solid. They got two premier pass rushers. I think Baltimore is going to have a difficult time, and I like Denver because that is who the matchups favor on Sunday. Moving on to the Atlanta Falcons versus the Saints. Good old NFC South rivalry. This one's a toss-up, too. And look, I keep saying it. There's a lot of toss-up games this week. The Falcons looked out of sync week one, but week two, they put it all together. I ranked the Falcons as one of the best receiver groups coming into the league this year. The emergence of Calvin Ridley in game two can't be understated. He gives the Falcons another major threat. He has incredible short area quickness and an incredible quickness to beat you deep. Right now, that Falcons offense is starting to click. I think Marshawn Lattimore, the Saints' young cornerback, he's going to give Julio Jones more trouble than what people think. And if he can, and but I'm telling you, if Marshawn Lattimore struggles against Julio Jones, I don't see the Saints winning this game. But I think he's going to do better than what most people think. You know, a guy that you got to watch out for on the if you are on the Falcons defense is wide receiver Michael Thomas. He's the best wide receiver in the NFL through the first 2 weeks, and I think he's going to be a handful. This matchup can go either way, but I think the Falcons have too many receiving threats, and I think that's going to be the difference on Sunday. Moving on to the Battle of Los Angeles, the Chargers versus the Rams. These are two good football teams. Both teams have good quarterbacks. Both teams have good running backs and good receivers. And both teams can harass the quarterback. Two good football teams. When you look at on the offensive side of the ball, who's calling the plays, the Chargers have Ken Wisenhunt. I like him as a Chargers offensive coordinator, but he is not as creative, I believe, as Sean McVay, who I think is going to call the more creative game. And again, the Rams are just a really hard team to beat if you can't stop Todd Gurley. The Chargers had a terrible run defense last year, but they did make a big splash in the NFL draft. The Chargers drafted Derwin James in the first round, Uchenna Nwosa in the second round, and Kaiser White in the fourth round, and their run defense is night and day different than last year, something I predicted coming into this year. The matchups that I'm really most excited to see is the battle that features arguably the best pair of cornerbacks in the NFL against arguably the best tandem of wide receivers in the NFL. That's Marcus Peters and Aqib Talib going against Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. That is going to be a great matchup to watch. One of the best of the week. I think ultimately, whoever wins that matchup of those DBs versus those receivers is going to win the game. I think that's what it's going to come down to. But again, you know, it's just, you know, I think when you look at that, I still like the Rams in this one. I think their cornerbacks are going to be able to get the job done as good as those Chargers receivers are. I think they're going to have a good game, and I just think Todd Gurley is tough to stop. But again, this game is a toss-up because they're evenly matched in a lot of ways. Not only that, the Chargers also have their own two-headed monster running back, so this is going to be a good game. Something I'll mention, I said Derwin James was the best defensive player in the draft. Through 2 weeks, he's been the best defensive rookie in the NFL. Moving on to the Bears versus the Cardinals. The Cardinals' offense is looking flat, and the Bears' defense is looking really good. It's only going to get better. Roquan Smith, he's everything that people thought he would be. They got Khalil Mack. They have Leonard Floyd. I believe it's just too much for the Cardinals to deal with. The Bears are going to harass Sam Bradford too much on Sunday, and the Bears are going to control the game with Jordan Howard on the ground. The Cardinals look lost right now. Their offense is flat. It's just not working. It looks broken. I don't know how much longer Bradford is going to start if they can't get the offense going. Is it all Bradford's fault? No. But, you know, he has been hesitating in a lot of these throws, and that hesitation has been costing him, and I just think he's out of sync because he's not getting protection. The Cardinals were shut out last week versus the Rams. I like the Bears in this one for sure. Looking at the Dallas Cowboys versus the Seattle Seahawks. I like Dallas in this one, and I'll tell you why. Russell Wilson's game got affected a lot last week by a team that I just talked about, the Chicago Bears and their defense. And I said that going into this year, because we're looking at the Cowboys versus the Seahawks, the Cowboys can have a hell of a front seven. And their front seven has looked good the first 2 weeks in the NFL. Looked really good last week against the Giants. In their front seven, they got Sean Lee, DeMarcus Lawrence, Randy Gregory, Leighton Vander Esch, Jalen Smith. They have a lot of players in that front seven. The Seahawks, they couldn't stop the Bears' pass rush last week. I think Dallas has a recipe for success in terms of getting to Russell Wilson. Look, and they also, and that defense got after Cam Newton last week. They got after Cam Newton week one. They got after Eli Manning week two. Combine that with Russell Wilson getting harassed in the previous game. I just think that Dallas is going to win this game with their defense. Russell's going to struggle too much. I like Dallas. If the Seahawks, if they can slow down Ezekiel Elliott, they'll have a much better chance of winning, because I think Dak Prescott and these wideouts, at some point, they're going to come back to earth and they're going to realize that they are just average. So we'll see what happens there, but I do like the Cowboys in this one. Looking at the Lions versus the Patriots, this is a battle of Bill Belichick going against his old defensive coordinator, Matt Patricia. The Lions don't look like a good football team right now. And Bill Belichick, look, Bill is going to have a much better grasp on how to attack that defense, more so than Matt Patricia is going to be able to slow down Tom Brady in that offense. The Pats are the better team, no doubt. I like them in this game. If the Lions end up winning, it'll probably be the upset of the week. But I just think when you look at the coaching matchup, the way that's set up, the way the Lions are playing, it's going to be a long day for Detroit. I like the Pats in this one. Moving on to Monday Night Football, we got the Steelers versus the Buccaneers. The Steelers defense, in my opinion, they have no way to deal with the three-headed monster that Tampa Bay has at wide receiver and tight end. That's DeSean Jackson, leads the league in receiving yards, Mike Evans, and O.J. Howard, who, oh yeah, is going to be emerging into one of the best tight ends in the NFL. And you have Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's playing hot. And the Steelers, they can't defend that. Look, they got three major players that can catch the ball. And the Steelers secondary is among the worst in the NFL. The Bucs are hot, and I think their success is going to continue this week against Pittsburgh. The defensive issues Pittsburgh is having are way too much. I don't think that Pittsburgh's defensive front trusts their defensive backs, and I just think that is going to be an issue. They're not playing well together. Because their defensive backs, Pittsburgh's defensive backs, are not playing well, it's going to make it a lot harder for Pittsburgh to generate a pass rush. Not only that, the Buccaneers' offensive line is playing a lot better than people expected. I think the Bucs continue to roll this week, and Fitz is playing with a lot of guts, and I like it. I like Tampa Bay in this one. So that breaks down everything for week three. I appreciate you guys, as always. Remember, later today on Twitter, follow me at SteveTheScout81, and I will be having a poll where you guys can vote on the kind of content that you want to see on the show. This is Steve the Scout with the Pro Football Scouting Podcast. You guys have a great weekend. Enjoy the action. I'll be back with you on Monday to break down everything for you. Take care.